He stumbled upon our podcast.
Hope you got you later.
So I'm Otto Locks.
And I'm Keese.
Welcome to Functional Potheads.
Right. Of course, my phone would start ringing right then, like in the middle of the recording. Hope it wasn't about a job.
I don't know, but like it's either that or it's have you been getting those like go vote calls, like just checking in, it's Jim Levitt and just remember whatever, because you once you register to vote they can just call you?
Yeah, I got one like last week. I haven't really gotten any since then though.
They are blowing my phone the fuck up any time of day. And then it's like they call and they hang up too.
So you call back?
Well, I do, because they don't leave me a voicemail and it's a local number and I'm applying for a job. I don't know if you're calling me for a job or you calling me because you just want to fucking talk to me about voting, which I already dropped my ballot off. So stop calling me. Nonetheless. So,
yeah, we're just calling to hear your voice at this point.
What you smoking on?
I am smoking on today. I got some artisan breath work.
Work.
Got a that I tossed in here. And a new company I've just tried for the first time, Buddy Boy Farm.
Never heard of them.
Some candy sherbet. Oh. They are more on the discount side of things, you know what I mean? Because payday's not this week, but next week, so.
Facts. I hear you.
But, and I just want to let everybody know out there that's listening, price isn't always indicative of quality when it comes to shopping at a weed store.
You should know a little bit about weed before you just go pick some shit up at a dispensary. Otherwise, you'll pay a bunch of money for trash, or you can pay a little bit of money for quality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just got an eighth of White Tahoe cookies by Magic Time Farm.
Ooh, Magic Time. They are the sister farm of From the Soy.
Oh, okay. Word. Yeah,
they both have those cool little things on the top that kind of tell you the terpene profile. They don't break it down in terms, but they break it down in like simple terms.
Yeah, the White Tahoe cookies is creative, happy, and relaxed. 20% sativa, 80% indica, and skunky spicy mint, which I will hit them with. I'll agree with the skunky spicy, because when I opened it, I was like, White Tahoe, why does it smell like GMO? Like, it was so pungent, you know what I mean?
Speaking of GMO, From the Soil has a fire as GMO.
Oh, okay. Listen, so if you're out here in Washington, we telling you who to check out, you know, who to grab. All right. How has weed helped you lately, bro?
It's been like a transitional period for me right now, going from the retail side of things to the processing, producing side of things. I recently moved from one job to another. And in that process, it has helped me immensely because that shit can be stressful.
Mm-hmm. Transitions, man.
Stressful.
You know, even though I ask this question every time we talk, I never pre-think of my answer before I ask the question. Never. So if I had to think about how weed has helped me, it's really, I haven't had much to do. So, and I'm working on this from a marketing aspect, but like weed makes everything fun for me. So the everyday shit that I'm doing right now, laundry, like I go out and garden, like it's sort of part of my routine that I'm building up to deal with my anxiety, because my anxiety is going through the roof, and the least thing, it like takes one thing to be out of place to just mess up my flow in my system. So what I've been doing lately is just like, all right, before I dive into anything that's probably going to induce stress, deal with my garden, do some yoga, some meditation, smoke some weed. I do those four things, and then I'm going to get back with you with just about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And my day goes smooth. Like, I don't even really notice the day passing, you know, once I started that in. Because once I start smoking, you know, I'm going to smoke a little bit every time, you know, for the rest of the day. But sometimes holding off, like 2 days ago, I held off my smoking. And, man, didn't even realize how much of a panic mode I was in. I'm having to like do a lot of research right now, and research or like just a lot of fact finding about political representatives, and all that shit is hella boring. But you smoke a little bit of weed, then you start diving in. You be like, oh, well, what you running for real? Mm-hmm. And then you go and follow the money, and you be like,
all right, so if you're against this and this motherfucker's for it, y'all got smoke low key. All right. I'm seeing it. Now I understand why the representatives have, you know, I mean, people on the opposing sides of the street and shit, and people on this side like, vote for this guy, vote for that guy. They low key got smoke. You know what I mean? Different political standpoints and shit.
And then there's the guy that's like, who's always runs for governor. It's like he's been running for at least 30 times now, and everyone knows he's like batshit crazy. But out here in Washington, people take politics serious. So like anybody can run for just about anything. Thankfully, the stranger produces like a who we think you should vote for. They're a local blog. They send that out. And I think it's very interesting and probably on the money. I would say they're pretty liberal as a blog. So that's where they're going to align their views per se. But they definitely do a good critique of both parties. Like, this is why you shouldn't vote for this person. You know what I'm saying? Or this is what he's running for. So if that doesn't work for you, vote for this one. And this is the first time I would say in my life that I've taken that serious of an interest into who I'm picking. And I, you know, thank marijuana because it's annoying. These ballots are long.
So many people running in local government.
This is where I think my vote will actually count. So got to get it done. But we're going to take a quick break. See you in a few.
Today in cannabis news, well, let's just say in cannabis news lately, first thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that the Chicago-based company Grassroots has been bought by Massachusetts-based company Curaleaf in an $830 million acquisition. Like, all right, pockets deep. But this is the thing about this acquisition. Curaleaf are now the biggest cannabis company in the United States. They span over quite a few states. They say that their revenue stream annually is now projected at $1 billion. But this is the thing. So last year, right before the whole vape gate thing happened, they had bought a company based out of Oregon for, I want to say it's like 150 mil or something. But the company that they bought out of Oregon is now facing a class action suit. So Curaleaf is now facing a class action suit of like 150 million.
Okay.
So this is the thing, like, you could be the biggest company, you could have, I mean, the most, like, pull within the cannabis industry, but what these big companies don't, like, what they fail to realize is that there's still a lot of room to fail. If we've learned anything from MedMen, like, there's room to fail.
I was about to say, the only reason why they're probably in the position they are in is because MedMen tried and hella failed, and people are getting, like, CEOs is stepping down, and they still coming at they regular assets. Like, MedMen is bombing, and they had hella potential, or so they claim, you know what I mean? But what happens when you branch too far, your quality, what I'm trying to figure out is, what is Curaleaf actually providing? Like, are they a producer processor? Are they a grower? Are they a retail store? Like, what are they?
So from what I understand, they are more or less all encompassing. They have arms in different areas of where they are legally allowed to, but more or less, they are providing an oversight of these companies. So these companies will still be run. Grassroots will still be run, but it will now be under Curaleaf. It's like Walmart going into somewhere and like buying, like, all right, well, this store looks nice. We could use this in our arsenal. All we got to do is beef it up, buy the store now. It's a Walmart store.
But understand that now that we've made that tie, so you can understand the structure between Curaleaf and Kroger. What do you think of Kroger products? They're not brand name. Mm-hmm. So then it's a question, if it's mass produced at that level, then quality does get affected, right?
Or the production will still be held like Chicago.
Yeah.
But it will be the oversight, their rules, their regulations on how they want things done. So if they want everything machine trimmed, and these guys have made their money off of being like a hand trim, or they want this specific type of chemical used for extermination of mites, but that's not allowed. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that they have to, a lot of footwork that has to be done. And then they have to worry about the quality.
Yeah.
People are depending on the quality. You might have a formula for a better quality that they were having over here, but that might not work for another region or another state.
Exactly. Because you got to take in, now it's a plant now with, you know, parasites, like it's different for climate. Climate matters in what you're doing. You are pointing the truth out, bro.
But shout out to Grassroots for making, I mean, that's a power play. You, like, I mean, I can't imagine somebody who was like on the forefront of weed and Illinois, they've been bought out of this business. They're definitely going to come back as something else. I mean, you now have more than enough money to come back as something else and do exactly what you were doing and kind of be a competitor to your old brand. So shout out to them.
I focus on about that, and specifically in the weed industry, why it's exciting. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, I built it up and made it great. And someone else, some big name, wants to buy it out for a lot of money. Hell yeah, I'm going to take it and then go build another something dope because I have the ability to build that dope thing. So he feels honored that someone wants to pay him a lot of money for what he created. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's a very interesting, because you know, when you create something, you're so attached to it. Right? But with him, he was like, no, I'll let it go. Make something else. New name, new something. Put the same level of energy in it. Once I know how to do it, especially with it's like growing a plant, once I know how to do it, then whatever. I don't know. Take these gems how you will, but watch the money, bro.
Yeah. Facts.
What else you got for me?
Next up, we have Arizona and Jersey are very close to legalization. Arizona, I believe, was a 76% vote towards legalization and pretty high amount, I believe, definitely more than the majority in Jersey. So they will be taking the next steps into moving closer to legalization, which means a lot for Jersey because they do jail a hell of a lot of people for cannabis. So, like, hopefully they could get on the market, get things right. Arizona stands to make quite a lot of money the first year out. I believe the projections are in the billions of dollars to be made that first year.
That would top Illinois, which is like, they're the standard right now.
Yeah, they killed it. They you have, like we've said before, like you have to have a scheduled visit to even go in there and buy weed. And pretty much every dispensary in Illinois that's popping right now. Right, Arizona, I hope, and they're because they are one of the strongest medical markets. Okay. I hope that they learn from the mistakes of, say, Washington and how they allow people to basically switch their business over and convert it into a recreational or maybe a recreational and medical. It's very, like, it's always interesting to see how states play things out when it comes to, like, the switch from recreation.
Talk to them, because Washington, let's let it be known, if y'all don't know, Washington fucked that up royally.
Yep.
They fucked it up, bro.
And a lot of big money people were able to come in and basically, if not get into the industry themselves, pretty much be a board member, buy into a lot of companies that didn't have the capital, like stated in our previous episodes. Yep. That's pretty much how they get their ends into the industry, and they are able to control the industry from the inside. So,
yeah.
And listen, by the way, this is people that know next to nothing about cannabis. So.
You said legalization. You mean like recreational legalization?
Recreational.
Okay.
Jersey, I believe, has a medical program, both Jersey and Arizona. Jersey's medical program is fairly small. So it would be exciting to see what they could do on the recreational market, especially being so close to New York. I think that would draw a lot of business into Jersey and help fix a lot of local economy problems like that they're having right now. Infrastructure. Things that like that are outdated in Jersey by decades. So it would be exciting to see. Hopefully they delegate the money, but we all know that's also a pop chart. So hopefully they're able to delegate that money, get that money to the areas that they need it in, and that will really help the state. We could only wait and see.
Pretty much every time it's like, it's a test, and pay attention to it. So, you know, like I wish, like if you wait and see, you see how it plays out, then you know what it'll play out with. In that general region, right? Like, understand, like how that market goes for the first year sets you up to understand like the next state close to it. I like to see different regions pop up and see how they unfold.
And I say the most juicy for the last, Texas, they legalized hemp, smokable hemp last year. And it was just done. But like, it's probably the biggest hemp market, smokable hemp market in the States would be in Texas. Like I see people posting hemp weed people out here are posting like cannabis, like to draw like a comparison, like it's a bit, really big thing. They are moving as of recently, like I believe last week they made the ruling. They're moving last week at, that would be July 27th, they made the ruling that they are no longer allowing hemp flower to be sold. And that is because they don't have
a way to test.
So there were like four different companies that were like, hey, once you guys make this legal, we'll have test kits that you guys could have inside your cruisers and you could basically test this on the side of the road. But it's like, bro, no shade thrown to, I mean, the state troopers or any of the cops, I mean, in Texas. But half of these guys are like high school education. Like, I mean,
it does like, not take a lot to become a police officer.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have to, you're basically taking something that's usually done in the lab with a throat setting and you're shrinking it down to something portable. It allows for a lot of mistakes and user error. So that was a pop shot. So that never happened. So now they have no way of knowing really until this plant is taken to the lab and tested. They have no way of knowing. And it's caused such an issue with traffic stops and violations that they just decided it's we're better off just doing away with it all. Well, not all. So they'll still allow edibles, transdermal patches, things of that nature, tinctures, but no more smokable. I don't know exactly what that means for the vapes. I would assume that would be the same idea because if you were to come across, a vape for
crime, isn't it? Well, I don't know if it is in that state, but it's a felony. I'm sorry.
Cannabis trafficking, yes.
Yeah. Cannabis.
So also, it's a very serious charge. Houston used recently, they made a move to decriminalize.
Okay. So I'm sitting here, I'm listening to this, right? They thought it would be just better to kill a thriving fucking market, to kill it, than just legalizing it. Even though other states have proven to legalize it. You saw the money.
If you're listening, right, just go on your computer really quickly and type in smoke shops in Texas. And I guarantee you, you will get a list about as long as your fucking arm. And half of these guys, if not the majority of them, are paying their bills off of selling smokable hemp. Because it's become like a hot product. So, and now there are farms, within Texas that are producing this hemp. I could only imagine, honestly, what this is going to do to the local economy that just basically got this little boost, just a little bit air under the wings. I could only imagine what it's going to be now that they're making it illegal. Like, it's just another thing that's going to go on to the black market. And it's just going to be another problem. It's just going to be another problem. I have to read into this because I didn't. So I don't know what exactly the law will be on possession of hemp flower and the consequences of possession of hemp flower.
They still can't test it. So they haven't been able to try it. Generally, they haven't been even writing tickets for it because the DAs can't prosecute it. And if the DAs feel like they can't win the case, they throw it out. And they said, I'm not even going to waste my time on it. So, let's get rid of it. So even though you're killing this market that you've let thrive, you still have no way to check if that weed is cannabis or not. Because
they're killing babies. They're only killing babies. This market's still in its infancy.
Yeah.
That's killing a baby. Yeah, I don't know. Texas is weird, man. Texas is really weird.
No, it's not weird. You know what it is? Because this throws into my article. It's not weird. They would rather write more tickets and arrest people and continue the war on drugs. They would rather that because it fuels their pockets than actually just making it legal. I'm sorry, Texas, y'all racist as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
As fuck. So you would rather keep getting caught up in jail over that shit. And that goes into my other article that I read that put another perspective on the murder of Breonna Taylor for me. It, like the caption said, the war on drugs killed Breonna Taylor. And I had to sit with that for a few minutes before I could even dive into the article, because there is something that has always bothered me about that case. You know what I'm saying? Like, not just the story, not how egregious and evil you were to her family, to the people around her, when you know you murdered her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
The countless ways you failed that family. But it was over suspecting that she lived in a home that was potentially receiving weed associated with her ex-boyfriend, a person they had already had in custody. You know what I'm saying? So, like, y'all was so hopped up on getting people on charges about cannabis that you lied to go get a no-knock warrant because you lied and said the general postmaster said she was receiving mail. General postmaster's like, nah, that ain't happened. I never told him that. I said no. Right? So you lied to go get a warrant and kicked in the door in plain clothes in the middle of the motherfucking night.
Mm-hmm.
And because they defended their home legally, you fired countless rounds into a home. You know what I'm saying? And so when I look at it, I'm like, you fucking right. That's a prime example of how evil war on drugs is. That you were so motivated at getting 10 fucking pounds of weed when states is producing how many pounds, bro? How many?
The company I just started working for, like, we ripped through like 10 pounds in like a few hours, like processed or fully processed.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I just like, I was like that.
Don't ever be sorry. Don't ever be sorry for that. Like, this is real shit. This is like, this is life as we know it. Like, this is where everything is. To be able to express yourself, I mean, on this platform in person, like, I will never fault you for that. Yeah. And I will never fault you for that ever. Like, that's real shit. Like, it sucks. It sucks. Yeah.
Until we get some legislation to change that shit, bro. I don't want to really hear much from these states. Like, I like to see these changes, but I really want to know how they're helping their community that they put in jail. Because you did, every state, you mm-hmm. did regarding marijuana. Like, all I want to hear from you is I'm legalizing it and I'm expunging records. You know what I mean? Like, hand it mm-hmm. boom, boom, and then actually in legalizing it, here's some bread back to the community I disenfranchised. Boom, boom, boom. Like, that's all I really want to hear from you. And if it's not that, then don't say shit to me.
Take some of the money made from the revenue streams and put back into the communities what they've lost. And within this process of basically defunding arts programs, defunding all kinds of programs, really, after school programs, defunding, yeah, like, let's put some money back into the shit and, like, put some equity into the neighborhoods. So not only instead of having these programs that they previously lost, let's add some, like, some other things on. Why not? Let's add some science, a few science programs, or, like, I mean, things that would bring equity into the neighborhood by way of educating people within the neighborhood and giving them something to look forward to. There should be way more farming initiatives that there are, like, I mean, today for the U.S. We were just watching, totally unrelated, we were just watching a documentary on farmers, and a lot of these guys are basically losing, like, under the Trump administration, which blew my mind because so many of them supported Trump. Under this administration, they are losing their farms, like, and a lot of them are, like, living hand to mouth. And this shit will blow your mind. I drew a parallel to another industry when I was talking to Eb about this. The farming industry, a bushel of grain, the price of it is $1.65 a bushel. The price of this has not changed in fucking four decades. They've been taking $1.65 a bushel for the last 40 years. And now, because the way that current laws aren't enforced and the way current laws are in place, they aren't allowed to, like, kind of like form a union and say, all right, we're no longer selling for $1.65. Those days are fucking dead and gone. You know what I mean? We're not doing that anymore. But now it's like they're so far behind the eight ball, even if they were to do that, it still would make up a lot of lost farms and people that have been generational. Like, I mean, fathers, grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers, all farmers. And now you get to the present day, and the kid that inherits this farm at 23 doesn't know what the hell to do with it. And a couple things would help. Hemp would definitely help. Yeah, I mean, and this is throughout the, like, yeah, I mean, our whole Midwest region. So if they were, then they have been given the biggest pushback. A lot of those states have been given the biggest pushback about growing hemp. If they were to allow these guys to grow hemp, and put a tax, a farmer's tax.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, and I know a lot of people had taxes and they're like, oh, but something simple, 10 cents for every box of cereal, for every loaf of bread that you buy, 10 cents is given back to these farmers. That could cover, like, a lot of, like, I mean, breathing room that these guys have lost, mm-hmm. like, the last two decades, the last 20 years. You know what I mean? So, and the same thing is happening with coca leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to produce cocaine, the price of cocaine, just like the price of bread and everything else, has gone up. Mm-hmm. These guys producing the coca leaf have been getting paid the same, like, 50-pound bag. It was like $50 or some shit like that that they're taking. But the price has steadily gone up. But there's no way for them to be able to bridge that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's not legal.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say the one thing I forgot, another point, and I really commend this woman or person who wrote this article. I don't know your pronouns, but they made a point to address and speak towards the fact that, like, the war on drugs, because Breonna Taylor's family filed a lawsuit, and they allege in this lawsuit, right, that gentrification follows the war on drugs. So basically, you go in, you clean them out, you arrest all the people that are living there, the community, largely people of color, for drugs, and then you build a place up. And now it's a happy and loving place to live in. And guess who moves in?
Well, you rename it before you move everybody else in. Rename it. You give it a more acceptable name, something that that would attract you. Like, my grandmother's neighborhood used to be the West End, West Side, West End. They have renamed it, and I seen all this shit happen firsthand. I seen all the bigger cats that were doing it down to all the dudes on the corner came in. They got locked up, max sentences. Like, and this is before the Obama administration repealed the ratios on cocaine, powdered cocaine to crack cocaine. So a lot of these guys are still doing time for these charges. They came in, swept everyone out, and I knew something was up when they started repaving and repainting crosswalks and shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, I've grown up in this neighborhood. Like, I've known this neighborhood for my whole fucking life. I mean, we've had the same roads. And, like, when they do, like, redo a road, it's patchwork. It's something quick. Mm-hmm. When they came in and repaved the roads completely with, like, a new type of asphalt, I was like, something's happening. And then they renamed it, and then basically, the property value of my grandmother's house, the only good thing that has come from it is, like, skyrocketed, like, 30%.
Yep, exactly. So that's basically what the family is speaking towards in their lawsuit with Louisville, because they say that was happening in her neighborhood. And even though other cases have tried, none has won and put it down on paper in law that the war on drugs is part of gentrification's process.
Yeah, like a...
Like, it hasn't been
precursor
wrapped up, which would be so helpful for other class action suits, because they be killing us out here, folks. So we need to get it, like, we hope it actually becomes precedent. What else was I into? All of the stuff I was into was pretty heavy, man. I'm not even going to lie, but not bad. Like, it's just, as we were talking about earlier, the WHO made some recommendations at a UN meeting about cannabis, and there were scheduling recommendations. So
whenever I hear scheduling, that shit makes me cringe, man.
Exactly.
The rescheduling of cannabis is like it just has to be descheduled. Yes. Rescheduling it is not helping. It's only mucking up the waters further.
That's basically, in, like, layman's term, what this article was saying. Like, bruh. We just don't know what you're talking about here.
Yeah, because rescheduling comes with a whole slew of other things. Yeah. So once you reschedule, now you're able to make new laws. Mm. You know what I mean? And, like, that's kind of left up to, like, on a state level, it's left up to states for that interpretation, which it can be dangerous, man. Like, I don't like the idea.
Recommendation 5.4 was to delete cannabis extracts and tinctures from Schedule 1 of the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotics Drugs. So what is your aim with that? You know what I mean? Their game plan is to take them off so that you can do some more studies, basically. You can study that once it's, like, not scheduled. I'll tie it in hand, because that's the FDA article. So the WHO is trying to just make these international recommendations, right? So the second recommendation was they wanted to add a footnote, which is an entry in Schedule 1 of the 1961 Single Convention, to clarify that preparations containing predominantly CBD and up to 0.2% THC are not under international control. So they're just trying to tweak little things about it. You see what I'm saying? It seems like a waste of
time. And change levels, and, like, that's just going to have, like, a conflicting thing with the levels already allowed in CBD flower.
Exactly. Like,
that's directly conflicting with that.
Our question is how? Like, how did you come up with making these recommendations? Who'd you talk to? You know what I mean?
Yeah, what is this based on?
And aren't you supposed to be really focused on COVID? I know y'all got multiple departments and y'all run separately, but aren't you losing a bunch of funding right now? Shouldn't be, like, let's solve a pandemic. Why don't you just say, right, from us to you, WHO.
Hold up. Hold up.
Yeah, yeah. Or just tell them, you know what, why don't you just deschedule this motherfucker? Like, it should be a simple statement. We don't want to change itty bitty bits. We're just going to say, on the behalf of people who actually need it because they're stressed the fuck out, because they're burnt out, COVID's out there, racism is now listed as something, as a pandemic in their eyes, Black people would like you to get cannabis off the schedule so we could just smoke without being caught up for that.
Mm-hmm. And arrested in jail.
Yeah. So take this down. Whoever's watching, send a letter. On top of that, another more, you know, local organization, the FDA, issued a new guidance document. And again, disappointing. The point of it was basically to address topics related to the clinical research of cannabis and its derived products. But it never really got into it. It's focused on topics of pharmaceutical quality and chemistry, manufacturing control. It doesn't talk about regulations or rules for cannabis businesses, or how we can do more studying with the hemp industry. Like, it doesn't actually help people actually wanting to study the plant. It's just, you know what I mean? But just for pharmaceutical purposes. So for the already corrupt industry that exists, they get lighter regulations. Here's some stuff. Here's some rules that you can abide by.
Honestly, when you hear anything from the FDA pertaining to cannabis, you can almost always guarantee that there's going to be something in there for the pharmaceutical companies. Because the pharmaceutical companies, their whole thing is, they know a majority of their money is going out of the window when the legalization of cannabis comes, period. I mean, when the complete and total legalization of CBD is made, yeah, I mean, which is made now, but there's been like little bickering things here and there. When everything's completely, when the whole cannabis plant and the whole hemp plant, like when everything's completely legalized, they will lose so much money, so much money. So every step on the way to that, you can almost guarantee when the FDA is concerned that there's going to be something for those guys, like wrapped up somewhere in there.
Exactly. And it's so disgusting. But you know what just happened? Epidiolex, I saw just glancing it, is the pharmaceutical allowed CBD to pass to treat seizures.
So funny thing about that real quick. They slowed the legalization of CBD to allow these guys, like, because it was still in trial studies, they were still having a little bit of problems with bringing their product to market. They slowed the legalization of CBD to allow these guys to be able to bring their shit to market before they fully legalize it.
So they announced that it could be used to help certain cancers. So not only will it be able to be prescribed as an anti-seizure medication, but now certain cancers, you qualify for this medication. You see how they're stepping into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the FDA then said, oh, you know, let's give you a little bit more guidance on how you can get better with your studies and stuff. Yeah, let's give you another leeway. Meanwhile, in other states, they slowing you down and like reverting the regulations.
Yep. It's funny to think that they're like, and here are things that you can do. And then Texas is like, well, give me that back. So now it's going to be harder for companies to be able to even have things tested. Yeah, I mean, or individually, like independent companies to be able to grab like a whole bunch of hemp flower from these guys over here and some from these guys over here and test that in Texas, because now they're like, well, we don't want like the flower anymore. So like, I can't imagine they would still like be big on the whole testing of flower if possession of flower is going to be a problem.
You're killing research. You're killing us finding the answers. And I just want to ask why. Why, when you have, like, every time you have a chance to choose something right for the people, y'all hit the left, bro.
You know why? It's old money. This country's run by old money. Old money is oil. That's why we don't have like any really clean, efficient like energy sources, because old money's oil. Old money is the timber industry. That's why we're still using trees and not hemp, because hemp grows 6 times faster and produces twice as more than, like, I mean, in the same square footage of tree. Yeah, I mean, trees, you could produce way more.
Yeah.
And way quicker. And it's renewable.
Probably energy. Less dangerous, because cutting wood is not safe. You know?
Paper. Same shit. Paper yeah. companies, pharmaceutical companies. That's old money.
Yeah, man. Terp talk.
For this edition of Terps Talk, Terps are talking. Talk to the Terps, they talk back. You know what I mean? I am going to be talking about one of my favorite terpenes, and a lot of unknowingly favorite terpene of a lot of people. And that's going to be myrcene, or beta-myrcene. Beta-myrcene has a range of taste from a mango, and that would be like a mango haze. Artisan actually has a really good mango haze for anyone from Washington listening, CBD strand. And it would range all the way out to like a skunky flavor, like GG4 or things in that, yeah, I mean, in that category, are that really gassy. Beta-myrcene is really good for stress relief. It is really good for aches, pains, and appetite. It's good for appetite.
Okay. All right. So now it confirms it. The reason why I want to say something is that mango haze is fire. I've definitely bought it twice now. And one of the times, because I told you when I was at the shop, I was like, yo, man, I'm all messed up right now. Like, my stomach is killing me. Like, I feel... It was after a stressful day at my former job, and you were like, oh, you got to get the mango haze. I promise y'all, I promise you, lit that bitch up. And like 3-4 puffs, my stomach was settled. Like calmed. And by the time I had made it to the interstate, I was cruising, enjoying the music. I was like, look at weed, bro. Because when I was like holding myself, I came in and I was holding myself like, you know, when everything feels terrible, right? So mango haze is that deal, bro.
Yo, you gave me the chills. It's one thing to have a knowledge in your head. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to like spread that knowledge mm-hmm. and that knowledge to be received and well received. That's honestly, to me, working within this industry, that's one of... Well, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but I do feel very strongly about this. So I'm going to say, if you don't have that feeling when somebody comes to you and tells you like, yo, this shit really helped me, you're not in the right industry. Point blank period. That's a very strong statement, but that's how I feel personally. And like, I don't know, every time I get the chills and like, it's like almost like a rush, it's a good feel.
Keep going. Yeah. Because for me, I get curious where I'm at in the learning phase. I'm like, oh. Say it again, beta-myrcene?
Beta-myrcene.
Like, I've read it and I understand, but like holding on to the names and applying it, now I know, like, I'll never forget. That's what makes mango haze fire. You know what I mean?
So some good thing for you to look up and read up on. There's 2 different types, and I guess we could just continue, wrap this right into Terps Talk. There's 2 different types of terpenes. There's monoterpenes and sesquiterpenes. Monoterpenes tend to be a very simple structure. Sesquiterpenes tend to be a little bit more elongated. And how this was broken down to me, monoterpenes is what you get when you smell a bud. So when you crack it and you smell it, sesquiterpenes tend to be like the deeper flavor that you get when smoked.
Okay.
It's all about structure. So like that's what it all boils down to.
The organic chemistry that I was not too good at, but it mattered. Yeah. Like when I was like, oh, you coming back, aren't you? All right. I like science. I'm going to have to brush up on this one.
It's a very interesting thing because terpenes is something that's been within like the plant community since the beginning of time. But it's something that they're just now starting to study and understand within cannabis. So they have found that monoterpenes, the more simple structures, tend to like to group together. There's certain like structures, like if you have a myrcene, you'll almost always have a piney or more of a citrus to like a almost an earthy taste. But they tend to like, the monoterpenes tend to like group together.
I got you. Now I'm trying to think of it. Does it start with an L?
Yeah, Limonene. Limonene.
Like limonene or
linenol?
Linenol. That's the one I'm like. But listen, this all matters, bro. Like when somebody's like, is gas and you like, oh man, it smells like this. Like now put it to the science. You really are ingesting something. So understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So light up and listen. I got two things. So I feel like you got one of my things. So
oh shit. Yeah. I didn't even realize.
It's okay. It's like, okay. That means the discussion was meant to happen. So what we're going to do is I'll say my first thing, you say your first thing, and then we'll just have a discussion as a whole.
Bet.
This is us planning it out. Lupe Fiasco and Kaylin Ellis dropped, I guess, a mixtape, a little album featuring Virgil Abloh called House. It's only 5 tracks.
Okay.
But I think you would like it, bro. I think you would.
Yeah, yo, I'm not going to lie. Lupe lost me on this journey. Like, I was with him at the beginning.
Yeah.
In some way, I feel like there was a fork in the road.
Yeah.
And, I mean, our thing kind of, like, split. You know what I mean? But I always looking to, like, reach out and, like, you know what I mean? Like, see, if it's, like, some Lupe that I can fuck with, like, I'll definitely give it a listen, for sure.
And it's not just Lupe. The thing is even though all of those names are there, right, you don't hear just one of them. Like, Virgil Abloh, it's cut with pieces of him just talking, right? And it's very metaphoric. And it's metaphoric to the situation, our current struggle, but in a language that he speaks, right? Which is fashion. There's the rappy, the hip-hoppy parts, the sort of the preachy, you know, kind of higher level rap that Lupe brings. I'm still getting into the other artists, but I'm assuming it's the melodic portions or maybe the production. Mm-hmm. I listened to it probably 2 times back to back, and I was like, all right, I can get down with this, but I really want to get the message. Lupe is sort of like my, what the hell is his name? Wale. I was rocking with him in the beginning, and then I was like, what's it about?
Dave, yo, you know what it was? I loved Wale all the way up until, I think, his second studio album with MMG. I went to see him in concert, and like, he fucking bombed, bro. I'm like, yo, this shit's trash. Like, he whined about, like, the label not letting him want, like, do what he wanted to do. Like, and, like, it just, from there, like, spiraled downward. He didn't do anything from, like, his first album. He didn't do any of his mixtape shit. It was just that album. It felt more like obligation by him to, like, go there and do the show. So, like, after that, like, I kind of like the vibe wasn't there. I'm big on vibe.
Dude, it's the attitude. Like, yeah. I hear
was like, yo, my nigga, like, yo, we all feel you. We all understand you. But at the same time, niggas paid $60 to come see your ass. So,
that's how I feel about Kanye shows now. Kanye shows and like Lauryn Hill shows. Like, y'all playing with our time for real. Like, you know,
yo, seen Kanye one time, College Dropout.
Yeah.
That the first album, and after I seen that, I was like, I will never go see this guy in person ever again because I don't want to ruin this experience. Like, that shit was all the way live.
Oh my goodness. For me, that was the Watch the Throne. Like, so up until Watch the Throne, after Watch the Throne was done, that's when Kanye started tweaking. If you really gotta look at it, like, so before that, his concerts were litty, but then he started having these like preaching moments and could you fucking rap? Like, you can use your live. Live wasn't around then, but like, record a video and post it on Instagram if you're gonna complain. Like, we want to see you rap. That's what the fuck we paid for. It's a concert ticket. Thankfully, for me, the next time I saw him, he was doing that. I was at Bonnaroo, so I bought the whole experience. It was like, oh, Kanye's ranting. Y'all ready to want to go to the next set? Yeah. Oh, good times, good times. What's on your list?
Pick is 38 Special. He is one of the guys from Griselda who they were newly signed to Shady Records, but they are New York guys, and it's like the boom bap, and his shit is gas. And I just learned the other day, just from basically scrolling through his catalog, he is also one of their producers. So, like, this guy, like, it'll last if you are a fan of, like, 90s hip hop, give 38 Special 6 shots. Give that shit a listen. Scroll through his catalog. My man got some fucking flame.
Okay. I'm going to give it a listen because I am all of that.
Some good shit, man.
You know, we had to talk about it. It's
oh, man.
Oh, the queen. The queen is here. Beyonce.
I thought we had stumbled upon it, but it was like a big banner when we had hopped on the Fire Stick and shit. They had like this big ass banner, so we clicked it. And yo, Black is King. Like, if you haven't watched this shit, like, you must live under a rock, dead ass. But yo, I laughed, I cried.
Oh,
like, it was a whole experience, yo. Yeah, like, some of the most beautiful vision, like, visionary, like, at, like, probably ever. You know what I mean? When it comes to, like, a video, like, a music video. Like, and it was so well put together. Like, that shit, like, it's moving.
That was a Disney movie money flex. I want you to understand.
Big time.
You know, time.
You know, Blue got a heavy check for that shit.
With it. And, you know, another thing that really touched me when I watched the whole message, because you like see the title Black is King, and when you see that, like, as a Black person, you're like, you motherfucking right.
Mm-hmm.
But then you dive into the story and it sort of follows the Lion King tale, you know what I mean? And in that story, to go along with that musical album, of course it's going to be a Black child, but you watch this and like, you're just thinking about your future, your potential. Like, in this moment, what we're going through in the world, like, it was exactly what we needed. And she devoted that to her son.
It's a reminder. I feel like it serves, like, being Black in America and also having, like, I mean, like, my father, he's Nigerian. Like, my people are from Africa. I mean, like, so having that, like, it kind of makes, like, it ties those two things together for me. I mean, the way like it was done with the music that was introduced to people who may not have heard these artists before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it ties all of it together. Like, as an American, it lets you know, like, your roots are much deeper than what has been, like, spoon-fed to you in the school, by the school system. I mean, like, it, like, that shit, I feel like there aren't even words for me to form, like, what that was, like, visually for me. Like, beautiful is, like, I feel like only so shallow, like, that's such a shallow, but because it was so dense with, like, imagery and it's beautiful. If you haven't watched it, like, give that shit. Like,
bro, the choir scene where, like, the acapella spirit intro,
mm-hmm.
I felt it from the depths, you know what I mean? And you could tell she was being overcome with it, with just hearing it, because you can, it's just a recording of them doing that. You know, it's not like the other things were like music videos. So they overlay the music, they overlay the audio. So they're just like mouthing it as they're dancing. But that was recorded right there and then. You can feel that feeling, like when you go to church and the choir is singing, you just, in the spirit, bro.
It's beautiful. Big ups to Beyonce, big ups to Disney. I mean, they hit the nail on the head with that one.
That was a good move on their part.
It was. Like, that's something that will forever be timeless. Like, we will watch that 10 years from now.
Oh,
I mean, 20 years from now with our grandkids, 30 years from now with our grandkids, and, like, and they will still have the meaning. It will still have that, like, so much imagery and things, even things people didn't know were being passed to them. Or, like, I mean, it's now, like, it's there. I mean, or things that you didn't even know were things now. Like, that, like, you can now put almost an image to that. You know what I mean?
All right. Let me give it to you this way, though. This is why I say big ups to Disney, for real. You just allowed what they've been fighting for years to suppress. The message they did not want you to know. Like, they've done all of these things, and they, the oppressors, have done all of these things, rewrite religions. How do I even say this to, like, brainwash you to not believe the message that she put in a 2-hour film and Disney published it to the world?
You know what's so wild? You said it was 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, I I can't even put, like, I can't even put a time. I didn't even know that shit was 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I was so, like, half of the time my mouth is open, like jaw dropped. Like, I thought that was, like, hour tops. Like, that's how thoroughly I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't even realize it was 2 hours. That's crazy.
I'm on my third go round because every time I'm getting a different piece. Like, because some, you know, you get drawn in, but you see things, you notice new things right before you get drawn in and caught up in the awe of it.
I had a leg up because Eb, like, she's been studying a lot and, like, reading a lot, and she's learned a great amount, and a lot of things and imagery that she's seen while reading, she actually pointed out, like, so we were able to, like, kind of, like, almost just dissect it as we were watching it. You know what I mean? So, like, fuck it. Big ups to her. Because, like, I'd probably be on my 10th time watching this shit, trying to soak it all in and shit. You know what I mean? I have speed.
I think we covered it, bro. I think we gave them as much as we could give them on this episode, man.
I feel good about it. I hope y'all do.
Oh, man. Honorable mention. Coffee. I can't let go. Coffee, she dropped 2 singles during this quarantine period and her album before it. Again, speaking to the culture, like, just from a reggae standpoint, and even Buju had to give her big ups, like for what she's doing. And I think, you know what, keep pushing. As a young person, like, actually, you know.
And it's fun music, man.
Yeah.
It's really fun, like, refreshing art, music.
An artist.
Like, yeah. Right? I haven't heard anything from Coffee that I haven't enjoyed. Everything she's dropped, like, big ups to her. Everything she's dropped has been amazing. Amazing.
Okay. Now we've really given you everything. If you toast, but tune in. And it's dope that you took the time to have a J with us. Until the next session. Remember, we're just 2 functional potheads out here trying to bring the truth and light about cannabis.
Drop it!